I mean, it's Paris is always romantic, day or night, and winning here will definitely be an amazing memory for me. And for now, I just want to take it one match at a time. I would have a very difficult quarterfinal, and from that, we will take it, and let's see what's going to happen.
Was there a time when you never would have thought you would have reached the quarters of all four Grand Slams?
To be honest, I never thought about like something was missing or I didn't reach all four of them. But I guess I never really thought about it. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. it came, and hopefully we'll set it to all semifinal and then all finals.
You're obviously a positive person in general, but I'm just curious how you've kind of managed the obvious frustrations with, you know, physical stuff this year and, you know, remain kind of, I don't know, positive or just with your eye on the goal?
You know, I've learned a lot how to accept things, either good or bad. For me, being injured was part of my path. How the season would have started here this year. And, you know, just I worked a lot on my mental health and worked a lot on how, you know, to manage all of this, because I believe there is a lot of injuries are connected to our, you know, emotional part. And I'm trying to manage that. And, you know, the season is still long, so hopefully no more injuries and I can continue in a great path.
Could you just talk a little bit more, go into a little bit more of a reflection on how the mind and the body are connected in our sport and in general?
Well, I've done a little bit of research, and I believe that our body and our mind is connected. And if there is an issue, for example, like when you go and train hard, you know, you have a sore muscle. And for me, the diseases or injuries are the same. You know, your body is telling you, trying to give you a message, and you have to listen to it. So, yeah, for me, for example, if the knee, you know, is hurting, there is a certain, you know, explanation for that. Maybe, you know, I'm trying to take control over things or not trying, you know, to be open-minded about some stuff. So I always try to look at the you know, the explanation of what my mind trying to tell me. And, you know, of course, looking at the physical injury as well. But yeah, I mean, everything is connected. Everything is connected with everything, either your past, your present right now. And it's probably a long conversation. But yeah, briefly is that.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
6-5, match point. She reaches up and she serves. She puts the serve in. The backhand spins into court. The inside out forehand, the stretch in Cerebes Tormi. Surely this is it. Inside in goes the Brazilian, and she's done it! After nearly 4 hours of action, Beatriz Haddad-Maia wins through in three to reach her first Grand Slam quarterfinal. I don't think she can quite believe what she's done. There is an exhausted embrace between the two at the net. But it is the Brazilian who marches through to the quarterfinals.
Beatriz, congratulations. Fantastic match. 3 hours, 51 minutes is the longest women's match this year. You are in the quarterfinal of Roland Garros and the first Brazilian girl to be in the quarterfinal of any Grand Slam since 1968. Congratulations. Tell us your emotion.
Well, first of all, I would like to thank everybody who came to support and enjoy the match today, especially the Brazilians. Muito obrigada pela força de hoje. I think the emotion were there for both of us. As I said, the last match, when we play big matches against big players in big tournaments, and we played almost 4 hours, so it's not only about tennis, it's a lot of things that comes through our minds, but I was trying to give one more chance for me because I knew that I was missing a few shots that I was trying to find myself, but I'm very happy and proud that I did not give up and I was trying to push until my limit, and I think I deserve it because of that.
You served for the first set and then you were down 7-6, 3-0, 40-15. Was it difficult for you to stay positive and to find a new strategy to come back in the match?
Yeah, I think the key is to try to play every single point. Doesn't matter the score. I was 5-1 down in the last round, so 3-love was not that bad. And I tried to think in the positive way. Try to think that if I'm feeling nervous, my opponent also is feeling. So my coach, he sent me an interview from Djokovic, and Djokovic told about the nerves. And if Djokovic feels the nerves, who is me? So it's normal, and we need to accept, we need to be humble and improve when we have the pressure.
Beatrice, you're born in 1996. There's one Brazilian player we love here in Paris, in Roland Garros. He won here in 1997, 2000, and 2001. Of course, I talk about Guga. You grew up with Guga. Are you in contact? Did you ever play with him? Or did he try to give you a few tips?
Yeah, Guga is an idol for me. When he won the first time, I was 1 year old. But yeah, for sure, we grew up playing on clay, hearing his name. And he's a very nice guy. He's a very important person for us. I got inspired by him as well. And I had the chance to meet him also when I practiced in the south of Brazil. So yeah, I'm very happy that he supports us as well. And yeah, he's my idol.
Once again, congratulations, Beatrice. Have a good rest. And we wish you the best for your quarterfinal. Mesdames et messieurs, Beatrice Haddad-Maia.
Bia, congratulations. Thank the first you. Brazilian woman in over 50 years to make a Grand Slam quarterfinal. Just what does it mean to you to get to this level at Roland Garros?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be in a quarterfinals. It's a dream. I think since I started to play tennis, me, my family, and everybody from my team, but I was dreaming and working very hard for this moment. So, yeah, I'm very proud for what I did today and also the last matches because I had to fight a lot. And, yeah, I think I'll try to enjoy and deserve a little bit during the night and then be ready tomorrow for the next one.
Hi, Bia. Congratulations on the win. You were out there for almost 4 hours today. How difficult was it to not only stay physically fresh but also mentally present when things are going that long?
Yeah, well, all the matches that I play, I prepare myself for the toughest moments. So I knew that Sarah will bring the ball. She defends very well. So I knew that the ball was coming again and I had to be aggressive. So I was prepared for that. I was trying to be as aggressive as I could to finish the point to go to the net. But yeah, I think I work very hard my body as well. So I believe in myself when we have tough moments. I had a lot of matches, more than 3 hours in my career also. So yeah, as long as the match goes, I think I'm stronger. So yeah, I think it's one of my qualities and I'm very proud of my physio and my trainer as well.
In England, we have an expression, which is the early bird catches the worm. And I understand that you wake up very early in the morning at 6 a.m. So is that why you have been so successful here? Because you are the early bird that catches the worm?
Yeah, it's crazy because you're talking about early and yeah, this night wasn't easy for me. I slept like 4 or 5 hours and I was a little bit anxious. And also, yeah, sometimes we don't control the things, and I was trying to, be in the present. It wasn't easy to control myself, the emotions. But, I'm happy with the way that I manage. And, I think we deserve it because of that. Thank you.
Can you just talk through the match a little bit in terms of what happened in the first set, kind of letting that lead slip, winning seven consecutive games from the second set, and then in the third set after those match points kind of came and went in that one game, mm-hmm. what you had to do to reset yourself to make sure that didn't go to a tiebreak?
First of all, it was big match against big players, big court, and the emotions were there for both of us since the beginning. I think I started in the right way, and then in the 5-2, I think I wasn't too aggressive, and then she started to go with deep and high balls, and it's part of the game. We need to manage, we need to understand the situation, to be humble and to work harder. So I was trying to push myself to be aggressive, to stepping on the court, and I think that was the mentality until when she was like 7-6, 3-love advantage. I was looking to the clock and I said, okay, we can play 3 hours. So let's find another way. I remember the 3-1, I did a few serving volleys. So I tried to change a little bit the game. And I saw the light in the end of the, and that makes me feel stronger. And I said, okay, now I have chances. I'm back 3-2. And the match started there for me.
Bea, when we came into the room, one of my colleagues said that today's match felt more like a marathon than a tennis match. Which do you think would have been harder for you to complete today, the tennis match or a marathon?
I think tennis is not a 100 meters race. It's a marathon, especially my matches. And I think I worked very hard since I'm very young. And my mentality is to not give up and always give one more chance to ourselves, even if the things are not going the way that we want. So, I think the key today was the discipline and to be calm and to accept that, okay, I was missing. Okay, she's playing better. She changed the game. But we are in Roland Garros playing on Susan Lengler, and I will try until the last point. So I think the key was to fight today.
This has to feel particularly sweet given just the journey to get back to this stage. And I think I remember you saying that it was challengers throw a bunch of rackets into a backpack and go and start to build your ranking back up. Can you reflect on those moments when you were kind of beginning to dream to get back to this? Can you give us a sense of what that was like and who that Bea was then versus and how she got to here?
It's not too far away ago. It was two years and a half, 3 years ago. And I had to come back. I had to fight a lot, playing qualies of 25Ks, going to the challengers, trying to play qualies from WTAs. And then I was building my game again, trying to be more aggressive. I started to practice with a new coach as well 3 years ago, which make me, have another perspective, another view of tennis as well. So, I think it's everyone has your own way. I had injuries. I have four surgeries also. So it's not easy to come back. But I think that's why I'm very strong when I play 3-4 hours. And I'm very proud of myself because of that as well.
Du Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland-Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Here is match point for another American, Coco Gauff, and the backhand return is wide. Coco celebrates. She's into the quarterfinals at Roland Garros once again. And she's done it relatively comfortably against Anna Karolina Shmidlova. She has won 7-5, 6-2 in an hour and a half.
Coco, well played. Congratulations.
You were up 5-2 first set, and then she came back. How important was that, and what did you do at 5-all that was different?
It's really windy on this court, so it was kind of hard, especially on that side, to hit through the ball. I think we both struggled on that side. 5-2 was 5-all. I just forgot about it, to be honest. Like, you have to forget and start over. The past is in the past. So for 5-all line, I just kind of zoned.
Is the wind so strong that you have to actually prepare in your mind that it's going to be windy? Because we hope for no wind normally.
I haven't played on this court all tournaments, so I didn't expect it to be so windy. And I don't really remember it being like as windy as last year. I've been playing on Susan Longland. And I think the way the kind of the almost roof is covers some of the wind. But I live in Florida, so I can't really use that as an excuse because it's pretty windy where I live.
This is true. Tomorrow, you have a day off. What would you do, something special in terms of tennis and sightseeing?
I think I might have doubles tomorrow, so...
You never take a day off.
Yeah, no, I don't need any day offs, you know. So I'm going to play doubles tomorrow. And I've been playing card games a lot and eating croissants and trying to stay away from crepes. The other day I was eating breakfast and I had like a chocolate kind of cake thing. And my agent was like, why are you eating chocolate cake for breakfast? And I was like, we're in Paris. Who cares?
Bravo. Bravo. At your age, you can eat anything. And I just heard someone whisper to me, you're learning French. Is that right?
Oh, what you say? Am I learning French?
Yes.
Yes, I'm trying to learn French.
Wow.
So I guess the one thing I learned is j'aime jouer à Paris. That's all I'm going to say right now. Jeremy Chardy has been teaching me French, but I forgot the last phrase he taught me the other day. So I think I get an F for today's test.
That's okay. You're going to be coming back here and spending a lot of time in Paris. Coco, thank you very much.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Merci beaucoup. Je t'aime.
Allez, fait pour la quart de finale, Coco Gauff.
Coco, back in the quarterfinals again this year. Just talk us through how happy you are with your form and how you played today.
I'm really happy. I mean, today was honestly a difficult match. I mean, as every match is, but the wind was something that I don't know, wasn't really that prepared for it coming in. The one side was gusting like really crazy. And usually, like, I'm, you know, I like to play in the wind, to be honest, but it wasn't something I was prepared for. But overall, I'm happy with how I played.
I think you said earlier in the tournament, there's no point revisiting last year's final against Iga, yeah. But I'm just wondering if you do end up playing her again, what you've taken from last year and whether you might sort of watch the match back again going into this year's match, and how you think the pair of you have evolved since last year.
Obviously, for a scouting standpoint, yeah, I have to rewatch that match because I haven't played her on, I don't think I've played her on clay since. I played her on other surfaces. I don't know if the surface will matter that much, so I'll rewatch some previous matches to see where, you know, I've gone wrong. I guess the revisiting part for like the mentality, it's in the past, you know, and in a positive way, not like, oh, I lost in the final, I don't want to think about it. It's more so I don't want to make the final my biggest accomplishment, I guess. I want to keep moving forward and keep reaching further heights.
Just wondering, the Roland Garros crowd is quite like notorious for like being very enthusiastic and sometimes harsh.
Yes, I know.
I'm wondering just what you heard about it before you started playing here and what it's been like, you know, how it's compared to how you've seen it, you know, why you've been here and why you've played in front of it.
Yeah, obviously I played juniors here and I didn't, no one came really into the final. And they were really enthusiastic in that final. Even like the last couple weeks, like, I don't know, they like to boo sometimes. I actually enjoyed it. I remember my doubles, yesterday I missed like a super easy overhead and I kind of like, I like dropped my racket on the ground and like got mad and then they started like booing slightly. Then they started cheering and I was like, it was one of those moments I started laughing because I was so confused. I was like, are you guys booing because I missed the overhead and then cheering because the other team won the point? I was confused. I honestly like it. I mean, I don't even want to consider it booing because it doesn't sound like booze. It just, I don't know what it sounds like. But I like the crowd here. I like that they're, you know, not afraid to I don't know. I mean, obviously there's a limit, but they're not afraid to express themselves. And I think this makes the atmosphere a lot fun for me to play in.
I just wanted to ask, you know, sometimes we'll speak to athletes when they don't yet know who they're going to be facing, whatever the sport might be. Mm. In a situation like this where maybe they'll say, oh, I want to face Iga because of what happened last year, or because I want to beat the best in order to be the best. But sometimes they'll say, are you kidding? Why would I want to play the best player in the world? Give me anybody else, kind of thing. I'm just curious, as you sit here waiting to find out whether it will be against her or not in the quarterfinals, which of those viewpoints do you take?
I mean, honestly, since last year I've been wanting to play her on, especially at this tournament, I figured that it was going to happen, because I figured I was going to do well and she was going to do well. Didn't know what side of the draw we were going to be on, obviously. But I'm the type of mentality, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I think also, like, if you want to improve, you have to play the best. I feel like the way my career has gone so far, if I see a level, and if I'm not quite there at that level, I know I have to improve. And I feel like you don't really know what you have to improve on until you see that level. So I would say out of the two, I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm not going to put the other opponent now, but the way Iga's form is, I probably will play her. And yeah, I think this, it would be almost cowardly to say that I want to, you know, not face the noise and not face the challenge. But I think that I'm up for it. I've improved a lot since last year, and she has too. And I think it would be a great battle for us and for the fans too. I'm sure they would appreciate that matchup as well.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Two match points. The first on the Cerundolo serve. Cerundolo goes down the center. He's missed it. Runa could decide to attack the second, because it'll be a safe serve on match point. It's short. Backhand return from Runa, but he stays at the back of the court. Backhand Runa, deep to the backhand of Cerundolo. They're both at the back of the court, but they're playing up the center. Forehand from Runa, backhand Cerundolo. Backhand from Runa. Cerundolo goes into out on his forehand, but Runa is there. Forehand from Cerundolo up the line, but Runa's fairly fat one as well. Backhand Cerundolo cross court. Runa digs this out with his two-hander. And netted by Cerundolo! And Runa is through! He has a beatific smile, and there's a warm handshake and something of an embrace. He's not everybody's favourite, Holger Rune, but he had to dig deep, and he's through to the quarterfinals, where he will face last year's runner-up, Casper Ruud. He's talking now with Alex Kretcher.
Congratulations. I know you love tennis. I know you love to be on this court with full house. But is it possible to practice for moments like this?
It's very hard. I mean, it's a unique feeling to stay on this court in front of incredible crowds. So, I mean, it was so much fun, guys. So thank you so much. Thank you.
And do you have a chance when you are working hard to imagine one day like this, or only when you experience, you know how to deal with the situation, where to serve in a match point, when you serve for the match, maybe you cannot close her out, and the way to recover, how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a heartbreaking loss in Australia, where I had this situation where I could serve for the match and lost, and ended up in a match tiebreak like this. So actually, I told myself, you know, when we started the match tiebreak, just to relax and play tennis and enjoy, because, you know, moments like this stay with you forever, no matter how you win or you lose. You just go and enjoy and try to play your best. So I enjoyed every moment.
I have to say, I'm very impressed that you said that you enjoyed this moment, because everybody was here like suffering, sweating, heartbeat like so high, you know. But how difficult it is to play against someone like Fran, that he's got an amazing forehand, so it makes you run from side to side, and also either you need to change down the line or find his backhand, otherwise you are almost dead on the court.
Yeah, it's difficult. He's playing amazing, especially on clay. I think it's a surface that suits his game very well. You know, he has a big forehand, big swing. So when he gets the time, we saw when I was closing out the match, he hit two forehand winners, I think. And, you know, it's just too good. So credit to him. He's a very nice guy. So I wish him all the best. He has a bright future.
And I let you go because you're tired, because they're coming to play, but all the credit for you as well, Holger, because you hang in there, you suffer, you fought hard, and you ended up winning. So you deserve to be in the quarterfinals. Congratulations. Mesdames et messieurs,
thank you so much.
Holger Rune, qualifié pour le quart de finale à Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every morning from 11 a.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
But it's still match point, Casper Ruud. Norwegian serves down the tee, forehand return from Jarry. Not perfectly hit, but it's in. And Ruud on the run, on the baseline, chasing down these balls from Jarry. As Jarry moves to the forehand side, it's a good shot from Ruud. And the forehand goes long from Nicolas Jarry. And Casper Ruud is through once again to the quarterfinals of Roland Garros. With a 7-6, 7-5, 7-5 victory that took him 3 hours and 20 minutes. It was a hard match, a rough, tough match between two big hitting players who love a clay court, but it's Casper Ruud, the finalist last year, who is through to the last eight.
Huge win, very difficult opponent. When you work hard off season, sometimes they push you so much, sometimes they tell you, come on, you can do it again. I believe after this match you feel like, okay, I understand why they pushed me. Congratulations, such a great win for you.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, it was great for me. You know, three very, very tough sets, 3 hours and 20 minutes. So if we played five sets, I don't know how long this would be. But yeah, I think today I can thank my team for pushing me every day in practice, because not every day is as fun as other days. But I do the work and I felt physically fine, physically good. I was ready for more if we had to play for more. So this is a win for not just me, but for my team as well. I think we have done great work the last couple of years. So I'm happy to be back in the quarterfinals.
Sure. And how difficult is it to play against Jarry, that he serves huge, he hits hard with the forehand, with the backhand. How important is this court? Because it's big, so you can go a little bit far back of the return, but yeah, then also the transition to get back close to the baseline.
Yes, it's difficult. I mean, his serve is great. He plays very aggressive. So I'm happy that I had enough court to work with today. This court is probably the biggest court on clay that we have. So for me, who likes to return from back, it's good. But it was tough. It's been windy this year. So on this side, you have the wind with you, so the ball stops. And here, you feel all the heaviness from the wind also. So it's a little difficult, but I think I managed to do well. I was down a break in both the second and the third, but was able to kind of think about, okay, let's see if we are on the right side, if I can break, and I was able to stay in, and very happy to neutralize a little bit his serve and win the most important point of the match.
And to finish, of course, last year you reached the finals. Now you have the crowd that they know you a little bit better. Do you feel connected with the crowd? Do you hear them when they cheer for you? How does it feel on the court? Because sometimes people think they don't hear us. You hear them, right?
Yes, of course. It's been great. I mean, I have a great atmosphere, great experiences here on this court, and the French fans are treating me very well. So thank you very much. And yeah. I hope I can stay one more week to feel even more and more every day I come back here.
You are almost like a veteran already, Casper.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Enjoy your day. Casper Ruud, mesdames et messieurs, qualifié pour le quart de finale de Roland Garros.
tight match. Mm-hmm. What do you think worked better today compared to your final in Geneva, Nicolas?
It was obviously the conditions here are a bit slower, so that's, I guess, helps me a little bit. But he's playing really aggressive. He's probably gained even more confidence after Geneva and here winning matches. So the goal was to sort of try to stop this wave that he's currently on, and I was able to do so. Very happy to get through in straight sets. There was three very, very close and tough sets, so happy that all of them went in my favor. And the margins were a bit on my side today, here and there, and in the most important points I was able to dig deep and fight back in the second and third. I was down a break in both sets, but very fortunate to pull through those sets, and I'm very happy to have sort of stopped his wave of wins.
You spoke the other day about how last year in the two slam finals and all changed your life a little bit in terms of being recognized. Mm-hmm. And you said especially around tournaments, but yep. I was wondering if away from tournaments in a place like this or New York or whatever city, you can take a walk and be unrecognized at this point still?
Some evenings, yes. Some evenings, no. It's a little... I mean, I'm not any, like, I don't consider myself like a world superstar or anything, but some evenings people who are here to watch tennis, they ask for a picture, and some evenings I can go unbothered. So I guess, both yes and no, but, after the final last year and in New York, I was asked more obviously to have a picture than others, but, Nothing crazy, and I think that's nice. I think people are pretty respectful this way. Like I said, I'm not any big time superstar as a movie star, rock star, or anything. So I think it's comfortable. I can walk around very comfortably.
You had some troubles at the beginning of the season. You had good moments on clay, almost great moments, maybe in Roma, but now here in Roland Garros, it seems that you are very close to your best level. So how would you compare your level of tennis now comparing to last year, the French Open, where you reached the final against Rafa?
Well, I think last year I was playing every match like freely and quite pressureless because I had came from semis in Rome and finals in Geneva. So my mentality was sort of like, I've done really well anyway, so whatever happens here happens. If I lose early, I'm still going to go home, and I won the tournament, the week before. But this year I felt a little more pressure, obviously, because I needed to try to sort of defend my final spot. That's been on my mind, and I haven't done as well in other tournaments. So I know that like every match that I can win, and every, 8 points on the rankings that I can sort of try to gain, it can be important for the rest of the year. So I felt a little more pressure this year, especially in the earliest matches. So I don't feel like I have played my best maybe tennis yet, but at the same time I'm playing many opponents who play very aggressively and they play fast and sort of give me no rhythm. So today it was just about trying to stay there and try to serve well when you could yourself, and if there was a chance to break, try to get it. So I think I was able to break him many times when I really had to, which was great and in a confidence sort of booster. But I think my next match is going to be a little bit more playable from the baseline, and I think the game will be a little different from this match, so I'm going to try to prepare for that and hopefully bring my A game, because whoever I play is going to be a tough one.
You mean whether it's Cerundolo or Runa?
Yeah, whether both of them are great clay court players, and I played them quite recently, both of them in Rome actually. I beat one and I lost to the other, so whoever it's going to be a tough one.
Ready?
Radio Roland Garros
Night Sessions. Let's start.
Radio Roland Garros.
Night Sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Wonderful!
Match points.
The headphones are off.
He's gone.
He's got his accreditation. He's taken his phone. He's off.
Served down the tee, and there it is. Game, set, match. Dusashi Zverev, 2 hours, 17 minutes on the clock. 6-1, 6-4, 6-3. The two-time Roland Garros semi-finalist comfortably through this round of 16.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast is brought to you by MasterCard.
It's day 9 in Paris with the French capital and Roland Garros looking as fabulous as ever in the early evening sunshine. Look at that clear blue sky. Hello and welcome to Night and Day at Roland Garros. Now, we're not far off from completing the quarterfinal lineup. So with that in mind, here for you is what we have for you on tonight's show. It's the first Roland Garros quarterfinal for Ange Burr. Casper Ruud coming into form at just the right time. And the stage is set for more late-night action on Philippe Chatrier. And taking centre stage this evening, you'll start to see the spectators make their way into the stadium throughout the course of the show. The noise will get louder, the entertainment will begin. But a while ago, the players arrived. And for Sasha Zverev, this is his, would you believe, his third night session. As he's been doing, he arrives on his own in the car. The team arrives separately. He is the 22nd seed, had that horrible accident here with his ankle when he tore those ligaments in the semi-final against Nadal last year. So it's been very emotional for him to be back here. So third night session for Zverev, two-time semi-finalist. So in he went at 4 o'clock this afternoon. He will be up against the men, and I'm concerned that Gregor Dimitrov forgot it was a night session, because this was 9 o'clock this morning, which probably explains why the hood is up, because that is very early. But he was on site, he was preparing, and what we'll do over the course of the show is show you how the players have been preparing ahead of bringing them out for you at the very end of tonight's episode of Night and Day at Roland Garros. Now, we have live action for you. We thought we would have live action for you, but we thought it would be the fourth of the four matches. It's actually the third, because we have had 8 hours of tennis split between two matches, which means Iga Świątek and Lesia Sorenko only went out on court about 15 minutes ago. You can see the perfect start for Świątek, who double bageled Wang in her previous round, her 13th and 14th six love sets of the season. And she's got the head-to-head against Sorenko, who is 0-8 against reigning world number one. So we will keep an eye on that for you throughout the course of the show. But let's get to the players who have already confirmed their place in the last eight. And we start with a lady who had a very early exit last year. First round on the Sunday, not so for Ange Burr, who is through to her first Roland Garros semi-final. Now, she's up against Bernarda Pera. And for Jibber, who's really grown in confidence, she said there were a few nerves in her first round match. She had to really shake off what happened last time out, because it was such a shock with the build-up that she'd had. She's had some medical procedures this year. She's had some injury layoffs, but she looks so good out there today. A first Roland Garros quarter-final. It's her fifth Grand Slam quarter-final. And she's now reached at least the quarterfinal in all four majors. She's an absolute trailblazer, Ange Burr. It took her just 63 minutes to come through against Bernarda Pera. So 6-3, 6-1, a comfortable scoreline. This was the first match on Philippe Chatrier. She'll have been delighted to get it done and to get off court. And while on court afterwards, she gave her interview in French when she spoke to the assorted media a little bit later. Here for you is what she had to say in English.
Yeah, I mean, great match. I was, expecting her to, you know, play better, but I know played a great tennis, and I mean, thank God I was able to hold my serve at the end. And hopefully the game will be better for the next matches. I mean, yeah, it was the only Grand Slam missing. I'm very happy with the performance, with the way I was, playing, especially coming back after an injury. I was just taking it one match at a time, trying to make it to the second week. And now I'm going to push more for the next few matches. And, hopefully better than a quarterfinal here, looking forward for a semifinal.
Now to our first epic of the day. This lasted an incredible 3 hours and 51 minutes. Beatriz Haddad-Maia, the 14th seed from Brazil, up against Sara Cerebes Tormo. Tormo going through after Elena Rybakina, the Wimbledon champion, had to withdraw. Now, Haddad-Maia was a set and love three down, but she was able to hang in there. It was very difficult for either player to hold their serve. It was a real battle. It was an attritional battle out there on Susan Longland. With Beatriz Haddad-Maia, she was looking for a little bit of history to be the first Brazilian woman to reach a Grand Slam quarterfinal since 1968. Now, it would be her fourth match point with which she would take it. In the first set, she served for it three times, and as you can see, went on to lose the first set. So the composure of Haddad-Maia. Now, this is the longest match, not just women's match at Roland Garros, but the longest WTA match of 2023, the second longest
also featured the Brazilian. Credit to Sara Cerebes Tormo for the effort. A lovely embrace between the two at the end. But what a moment for Beatriz Haddad-Meier to reach her first Grand Slam quarterfinal. Live ranking, she's up to 13. That is one of her career high. She's through to face Ons Jabeur in the last eight. And as you can imagine, she was happy, she was emotional, she was tired when she spoke after the match on court.
I think the emotion were there for both of us. As I said, the last match, when we play big matches against big players in big tournaments, and we played almost 4 hours, so it's not only about tennis, it's a lot of things that comes through our minds. But I was trying to give one more chance for me, because I knew that I was missing a few shots that I was trying to find myself. But I'm very happy and proud that I did not give up, and I was trying to push until my limit, and I think I deserve it because of that.
Finally translating that tour form into Grand Slams, the Brazilian now to last year's runner-up, when she was runner-up of both the singles and the doubles. Still a teenager, just 19 years of age, Coco Gauff. She was up against Anna Karolina Schmidlova, who's had time off the tour and chair. She's looking at tennis now in a different light. Now, Coco Gauff, the sixth seed here, she was actually 5-2 up in that first set, Gauff, but Anna Karolina Schmidlova pushed her all the way. Now, a top 10 debut for Coco Gauff. You've got to think, that was only last September. Everything has happened so recently. She is still so, so young, and she was looking for a third consecutive Grand Slam quarterfinal here at Roland Garros, and a fourth Grand Slam quarterfinal overall. She loves this service. She moves so well on this service, and she's also, with that win, the first player to secure 15-plus women's singles main draw wins at Roland Garros as a teenager since Martina Hingis in 1998. Quite incredible for Coco Gauff, who made her maiden Grand Slam final here last year. So through in straight sets, 7-5, 6-2. It's the third match on Philippe Chatrier, the final one of the day session. Here are Gauff's thoughts on court afterwards.
I haven't played on this court all tournaments, so I didn't expect it to be so windy, and I don't really remember it being like as windy as last year. I've been playing on Susan Longland, and I think the way the kind of the almost roof is covers some of the wind. But I live in Florida, so I can't really use that as an excuse, because it's pretty windy where I live.
Now we're keeping an eye on Coco Gauff's next opponent. Is it going to be Iga Świątek, the defending champion and the world number one? Or is it going to be her opponent, Lesia Sorenko from Ukraine? Sorenko is ranked 66 in the world at the moment. Now, they were delayed going out onto Susan Longland, an opportunity for Sorenko to get herself on the board. Świątek has really been getting into her groove. She had the injury problem in Rome. People wondered how that would affect Świątek coming into these championships, because you remember that last year she was an absolute tear in terms of her unbeaten run. But she's shown that she's got stronger and stronger. She's come through the tournament. She's raced to a four-love start with 22 minutes on the clock. But Lesia Sorenko is a fighter. She's shown that through this tournament with the results she's had. And they're yet to drop a set, both of these players. It's going to happen to one of them very shortly. But Lesia Sorenko here just looking to get herself on the board, and she does. So as things stand, it's 4-1 in favour of Świątek over on Susan Longland. And we'll have another little update for you on that before the end of the show. Right, to the men who have secured their place in the quarterfinals, and we will return to the court behind me, Philippe Chatrier. Now, this was the second match of the day, and it was Casper Ruud, last year's finalist. The Norwegian was up against a man in form on this service, the Geneva winner, Nicolas Jarry. Now, Jarry was looking for his first Grand Slam quarterfinal, and Casper Ruud hasn't really shown the form of last year at the beginning of this year, but it does feel like he's coming into form at just the right time. He was looking for his 15th win on the clay this year and looking to reach consecutive Roland Garros quarterfinals. He had to come back from 1-4 down in the second. He was 2-4 down in the third set, but it really does feel that Casper Ruud is coming into form at just the right time. So watch out, everyone else. It was 3 hours and 20 minutes. It was straight sets on Philippe Chatrier. You could see the smile, and I think also the relief, because Nicolas Jarry has caused people a lot of problems throughout this tournament so far. But Ruud, working well, starting to peak, knows what it's like to be in a Roland Garros final, and he is back in the quarterfinals and had this to say post-match on court.
So
Great for me, you know, three very, very tough sets, 3 hours and 20 minutes. So if we played five sets, I don't know how long this would be. But I think today I can thank my team for pushing me every day in practice, because not every day is as fun as other days. But I do the work and I felt physically fine, physically good. I was ready for more if we had to play for more. So this is a win for not just me, but for my team as well. I think we have done great work the last couple of years. So I'm happy to be back in the quarterfinals.
Now, this was a quarterfinal that was penciled in when the draw came out. It's a repeat of the quarterfinal from last year that everyone wanted to see. But for so long, it went this way and that between Holger Rune in the sixth seed and the 23rd seed Francisco Cirandolo. And Cirandolo had defeated Fritz in the third round. And he's 5-2 against top 10 players on the clay. So he had a lot of form. This is his favorite surface. It went the distance. 2 minutes shy of 4 hours, completing our 8 hours through two matches. And Holger Rune, just 20 years of age, you have to admire his composure and how he was able to turn this around, looking like Rude for consecutive Roland Garros quarterfinals. And as you're about to see, that's exactly what would happen for Holger Rune. Delight, exhaustion, relief. He won Munich on the clay, runner-up Monte Carlo and Rome, a smile on his face, a great tournament for Cirandolo, whose live rankings means he has cracked the world's top 20. But for Holger Rune, the journey here at Roland Garros this year will continue. He's going to face Rude in the quarterfinals. It's a match we all want to see. We are now going to see it, because in 4 hours he came through and had this to say when he spoke to Alex Krejcik on court after the match.
It's very hard. I mean, it's a unique feeling to stay on this court in front of incredible crowd. So, I mean, it was so much fun, guys. So thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I had a heartbreaking loss in Australia, where I had this situation where I could serve for the match and lost, and ended up in a match tie break like this. So actually, I told myself, you know, when we started the match tie break, just to relax and play tennis and enjoy, because, you know, moments like this, they stay with you forever, no matter how you win or you lose. You just go and enjoy and try to play your best. So I enjoyed every moment.
I have to say, at times it didn't look like Holger Rune was having fun, and it doesn't look as though Lesya Cirenko is having much fun either. A medical timeout for Lesya Cirenko. You see on the scoreboard, if you're just joining us, that she moved to a 3-love lead. A little bit of emotion there for Lesya Cirenko. She is going to carry on. She just managed to break the Świątek serve. She drew the error. She got a game on the board, but Świątek on the clay is going to move her opponent around. It's going to be very interesting to see how that one works out. And we will keep an eye on that for you here on Night and Day at Roland Garros. Now, with all the matches taking place and we have different competitions that are starting every day, it means when it comes to choosing our moment of the day, we have a lot to choose from. But after much deliberation, this is the one that we settled on today. Not bad, was it? If you had a different one, let us know via the social media channels, the official Roland Garros social media channels. We will go back to Soon Longland very shortly to see how Lesya Cirenko is bearing up. But firstly, we're following the players who are in the night session tonight. We saw them arrive a little bit earlier. Then normally we follow them to the gym, and that's exactly where Sasha Zverev went. That was about an hour, about 5 o'clock. There's Hugo Gravel, his physio just coming through there. The bands, the stretching, it's so, so important to get the body ready to go out there and play. So this was at around 5 o'clock this evening. For Gregor Dimitrov, he did things slightly differently, and that could be because he arrived at 9 o'clock this morning. So he was out on court two at 10 o'clock this morning, and that was just going through some sort of light hitting, moving the body around, very early sunshine, getting here before the crowds came in and just loosening up the body and getting a feel for the ball ahead of the night session. But he did practice later, and we are going to show you that a little bit later. And we're keeping an eye on things on Susan Longland to see if Lesia Sorenko is going to be able to continue against Iga Swiatek. We saw that she'd taken a game off her. She was 4-1 down, and we saw that the trainer was out. That's taking place on Susan Longland. It's a match that was due to start many, many hours ago, but really struggling Lesia Sorenko. She wants to be out there. She wants to be able to compete. But if you're not at your best and you are injured, it's going to be nigh on impossible against the defending champion and world number one, Iga Swiatek. It's good work though around the court from Lesia Sorenko, but finding the gap with Swiatek and into the tramline, just had to get out the way. So again, she's still there, but 2 points away now from 5-1 in that first set. And we shall see if there are any decisions made by Lesia Sorenko at the end of that first set. Now it's time to find out from the players who we spoke to at the beginning of tournament, have they or have they not in Never Have I Ever?
Well,
No, never.
I have not. You ever have a tattoo?
I don't think so. Tattoo is not my thing.
I have couples.
Would you have more?
No.
Caroline Garcia says she's thinking about getting a tattoo.
What, she's going to tattoo a bee or something?
Especially here, actually. When I went to Jean Bois and I saw Rafa practicing, I was totally starstruck.
Does Macron count?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am.
I'm sorry. It was actually at Charleston last year. I took Ayla Tomjanovic's bag. I went back to the hotel and she has a match. But I made it back on time and gave her a bag. And she was at the same part of the draw as me. Sorry, Ayla.
Lots of stories in
this. I did not do it on purpose. And maybe I did. I don't know.
Quite a lot of lost bags. I didn't think there'd be quite so many. And not just losing them at the airport, but actually picking up the wrong bag and taking it home. Lesia Sorenko, unfortunately, looks like she's not going to be able to continue. She's leaning forward. She's shaking hands with Iga Swiatek. I think she wanted to continue after the medical timeout to see if she could give it her best. But as I mentioned, if you're not at your best, if there is an injury, if there is a niggle, you don't want to make it worse. The season is still fairly young. Look at the disappointment on Lesia Sorenko's face. Came out here to battle. She hadn't dropped a set, Lesia Sorenko. And technically, she still hasn't. But she was 5-1 down. And it is so sad to see for Lesia Sorenko retiring 1-5 down after having that medical timeout and playing one more game to see if she could continue. So it's Iga Swiatek who moves through to the quarterfinals, the defending champion. And then it becomes interesting in terms of the number one ranking. Remember, that's being a battle between Iga Swiatek and Aryna Sabalenka, who are both still in the competition. And it could come down to the final if they're both still there. But we wish Lesia Sorenko a speedy recovery. She gave it her best. She tried to carry on, but she realized she couldn't. So Thomas Martin Echeverry and Yoshito Nishioka, they will have got word that the match is over and they will soon be out on Susan Longland. So plenty of tennis still to come. Now, a tournament that's getting underway tomorrow is one we always look forward to. It is the Legends Tournament. Now, we have a men's, we have a women's, and we have a mix. Now, I'm not going to name the legends for you. You're going to have to see how many you can spot. So today started before they came down to the media restaurant. They were up by the Roland Garros clay walls, the spectators, for a photo shoot. Spectators could take photos of them. And here, it's down in the media restaurant. And that gave the media a chance to just ask some questions and speak to the great and good. Now, they're going to be teaming up with each other. The men and women are going to get together for the mix. I do love the mix Legends event. Michael Chang, though, I said I wasn't going to name them for you. And another host of Legends, see Daniela Hantakova in your picture there, Francesca Schiavone, and many, many more. I've started naming them, and I said I wasn't going to help you. But the Legends tournament gets underway tomorrow, and we will keep across how that gets on. We've also got the wheelchair tournament that's going to be getting underway as well. So everything we're going to keep across, and you can always have a look at RolandGarros.com or the social media channels. Right, as the wind picks up, as it has a tendency to do, and the sun starts to dip, we can conclude your build-up to this evening's night session.
first meeting, just getting the wind out of my mouth there, it's the first meeting at a Grand Slam between Sasha Zverev and Grigor Dimitrov. We've got the 22nd seed in Sasha Zverev in his third night session. Concluding practice, we've got the final practice to have a... You can have a look at it if you'd like to. It's Sasha Zverev. He was on court two a little bit earlier, and that was just completing things. So he had arrived at 4 o'clock, had been at the gym at 5 o'clock, and then Zverev went out onto the practice court, getting himself sorted. As I mentioned, he came on his own. He joined up with the team at the gym and then looks in pretty good spirits. And physically, he'll be prepared for the night session because it's the third one that he's had. So his body will be used to the rhythm and used to the routine because it can be a big change. The man he's facing now, he had already had a practice on court. He was on court, so this is court two, and court two earlier was Grigor Dimitrov. So he decided to come out on Philippe Chatrier at 6:30. You can see Dani Valverde alongside him, and that's just to get a little feel for the court, a little feel for the conditions. They do change in the evening, gets a bit cooler. As we've seen, the wind picks up a little bit. So they are the final practice sessions for both the players that you're going to be seeing very shortly. So I mentioned they met a few times before, but they're going to be breaking ground when it comes to Grand Slams.
And now I'm here to play some of the best players in the world, and today was definitely the case in that. I'm happy with the win and happy to be through.
I need to prepare for a very tough match, so I'm really got to stay within me and look forward to the next one.
Oh, it's a beautiful view. The roof is off, the sun is shining, and we've got your order of play. Quarterfinal day tomorrow. The four matches are on Philippe Chatrier. It's 11 o'clock start. Karolina Muchova against Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova. Pavlyuchenkova leads 2-1. It's a first meeting since 2020 between Elena Svitolina and Arina Sabalenka. Djokovic 8-1, the head-to-head against Karen Khachanov. Then under the lights, it's a fifth meeting between Carlos Alcaraz and Stefanos Tsitsipas, but Alcaraz has won all four, most recently the final on the clay in Barcelona this year. But we are looking forward to it. It's going to be a mouth-watering matchup. But before that, we have to complete our quarterfinal lineup because there are still two spots to fill. They're both in the men's draw. And the men who will be contesting the match out on Philippe Chatrier this evening are in the tunnel. The lights are dark and it's beautiful outside. But then you go into the darkness of the tunnel with the flashing lights, building up the atmosphere and the mood for what's to come tonight. And it is Sasha Zverev against Grigor Dimitrov. Now, they are assembling themselves as the crowd make their way in, trying to find out their seats, being directed. Get yourself in and sitting down, because in a few moments' time, if they're not sitting down, we're going to have the players welcomed out onto Philippe Chatrier. It is a wonderful evening to watch tennis. Very lucky people who are in attendance this evening. We're expecting a bit of a cracker between these two there, the head-to-head, although edged in Sasha Zverev's favour. The great and good are here, disguising themselves in sunglasses. And there's the aerial view of Philippe Chatrier. Don't forget, you can follow it. Radio Roland Garros, ball-by-ball commentary coming your way. They'll be building up to it right now, and you can keep it on the social media channels as the match progresses. And don't forget to join us tomorrow when we will return as quarterfinal day gets underway here at Roland Garros. But until next time, take care. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye for now.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast was brought to you by MasterCard.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal. Silence, s'il vous plaît.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros.